Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, George Blackard, I tell you what, it's crazy. We've got one more Freedom Friday after this, and then it's Election Day in America. Will people choose freedom, or will they choose tyranny? It's crazy that that things are even this close with as crazy as things have gotten, but go figure. Hey, George, how you doing? Good to have you on the show this Freedom Friday.
Hey, doing great, Aaron. Happy Friday. It's a crazy time right now. I tell you, I already voted. I went out and did the early voting and went to the polls, walked in there, did, my duty, and really enjoyed it. It's a nail-biter, though, and there's a lot at stake.
Yeah. I think you sent us a message the other day because we were talking about it on air. There's a bunch of people that are voting early for the first time ever. In fact, we've got the latest numbers on our Montana Talks website. Travis actually put together a story that we shared showing that at least, 25% of the absentee ballots that went out have already been sent back in. I should almost check in with the Secretary of State's office to get updated numbers here a couple of days later, because we got reports from callers across the state that said, yeah, they voted early for the first time ever because they know how helpful that will be and how important that is, this election in particular. But then they were saying, like, in Flathead County, when they went to the elections office to drop off their ballot, there was like 100 people in line. They're ready to do the same thing. So that shows that a lot of people are fired up and they're actually getting engaged and they're getting there and they're showing up.
Yeah, I voted, of course, absentee ballot a lot in Montana, and I hear, though, the polls are open. There's a polling place very close to where I live, and there's a line of people out there every day. It is busy, and it's great to see everybody out there voting early and getting that done, and it'll be interesting to see what the total numbers of this election are. I guess, had record numbers the last election. It was kind of weird, but, it'll be interesting to see what those numbers look like.
Yeah, that's right. There's some crazy numbers out there when it comes to campaign spending. I don't know if you saw this story, but Fox News has a headline here about how the Senate race in Montana has shattered spending records. George, they're saying that these campaigns have spent what amounts to $309 per registered voter. So that when you break down all this spending, it comes down to $309 per registered voter that's been spent.
Well, they can stop texting me because I already voted.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting sick and tired of those texts. That thing is annoying as could be.
And then all the mailers, too. It's like, some of these campaigns, I want to be like, have you guys not done your research? You're literally wasting money right now by even sending out mailers, to me at least, because, yeah, like you, George, already voted. But and they should know that. But maybe they just think, you know what, they're just going to – I mean, it's just crazy how much money's being spent. Hold that thought. Quick break. Back after
this. I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. 4 years ago, it was Republicans in Congress who had reservations about certifying the election results, which propelled President Biden to the White House. But there are a handful of Democrats who might not certify a win by former President Trump. Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin says he would, quote, obviously accept the results of a vote, quote, if it were free, fair, and honest. Raskin challenged the certification of Trump's victory in 2017, but Raskin suggested that former President Trump could interfere with the process. He isn't alone. Democratic Illinois Representative Jan Schakowsky says she doesn't trust the former president. Schakowsky objected to 2005 electors from former President George W. Bush after a dispute over Ohio's electoral slate. The top Democrat on the House Rules Committee, Jim McGovern, objected to Trump electors in 2017. McGovern's indicated that Democrats would certify the results, but that's, quote, assuming everything goes the way we expect it to. The head of the committee which investigated the Capitol riot, Benny Thompson of Mississippi, voted against certifying former President Bush's 2004 win in Ohio as well. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, high temperature readings will stay in the upper 50s to around 60. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40s, and then back into more sunshine and some warmer temperatures for the weekend. Upper 60s in Bozeman on Saturday with highs at around 73 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
There is way too much to talk about. Let me give you some quick headlines at MontanaTalks.com. A Democrat operative busted tampering with ballot drop box in Montana. You can find that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, how foreign money is influencing elections in Montana right now, especially when it comes to ballot initiatives. And the Wall Street Journal, why Democrats are trying to destroy a Montana business. Those headlines and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with George Blackard. Yeah, so George, I wanted to get more of your take. It sounded like you had another thought. The Montana Senate race has shattered spending records with $309 spent per registered voter. This is a Fox News digital breakdown of election finance records in this report by Aubrey Spady at FoxNews.com. I mean, it's just crazy the amount of money that is flooded into the state. Some specific numbers here. Tester has outspent his Republican opponent this cycle, spending $69.6 million with about $7.4 million cash on hand. Filings show Sheehy, a Navy SEAL and first-time Senate candidate, reported spending about $19.7 million during the same period. Look at that money gap there. So John Tester has spent almost $70 million. Tim Sheehy has spent almost $20 million for his campaign. I mean, Tester has spent way more money than Tim Sheehy has spent, and yet, for some reason, Tim Sheehy is still leading in all of the polls. That's kind of interesting, huh?
Well, yeah, it's time for a change, and I think we're going to see it this time. You know, Tester's won by the skin of his teeth the last two elections. This time we've got a candidate that's young, bringing some energy to it, that's, you know, he's a veteran. And I think people are tired of John Tester, you know, saying one thing and doing another, and we've pointed it out before, he had the opportunity to make a huge difference. He was the vote that could have stopped a lot of these policies and things, and he didn't. And, you know, now he swears that he votes for Montanans, but 98% of the time votes with Joe Biden. So it'll be nice to get some new blood in there, and we really need to make sure that all these veterans don't vote for Tester just because he says that he likes veterans and he gave us a mileage increase 16 years ago or whatever it was.
So. Yeah. You know, the other thing, it's like, okay, is this a you-know-what awful amount of money that's being spent in Montana? Yeah, it is. I mean, let's compare it to Ohio. So $309 is being spent per registered voter so far here in Montana, but compare it to Ohio, which is another, you know, big battleground state, not just, you know, for the Senate race there, but in Ohio, more than $363 million has been spent in the Ohio Senate race, but they've got, you know, 8.1 something million registered voters compared to Montana with, you know, we have only a little over a million people, let alone registered voters, right? So the spending in Ohio amounts to about $44 per registered voter. But, you know, I kind of put this in perspective, too, because somebody joked around. They said, you know, John Tester could have just sent me a check for $309, and I still wouldn't have voted for him. And, yeah, I had to laugh about that one. But then on top of that, I'm like, you know, Governor Gianforte and the Republican legislature, you know, they gave us twice that amount back for a property tax rebate this year and last year. So, you know, the property tax rebate we got back was still bigger than this amount that's being spent per voter in the Senate race.
Yeah, it's crazy that where all that money comes from. But it shows you that there are organizations, forces, groups, whatever you want to call them out there, that, you know, they're pulling out all the stops to try and keep John Tester in office. It's, you know, hopefully it's going to be for naught anyway.
Hey, speaking of John Tester, you know, he's chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Did you see this story? One of our listeners actually flagged this for me. So Donald Trump, he said, look, if there are VA bureaucrats that are failing our veterans, remember, we had veterans that died because of bad actors in the VA. So Donald Trump says, you're fired. And he fought to allow for us to finally be able to fire bad actors in the VA. Well, guess what? Guess what the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime just did? They gave like over $100 million in back pay to fired VA employees that were failing our veterans. I mean, unbelievable. Like that's what John Tester does. He'll claim to do one thing, and he claimed to support these reforms that Trump fought for, but then he undermines it all. They undermine it all when they're in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I can't even say the words that are going through my head about that right now. You know, you remember when Secretary of the VA Shinseki, I believe it was, got in there. He said he was going to fire 1,000 people, and it turns out I think he fired 100, and they probably hired them all back because it's just not how the VA operates. They don't fire people; they move them somewhere else. How do you think Montana gets their VA directors that stay for a couple of years and then move on? They come from somewhere else where they screwed up. And it's disgusting that they don't hold anyone accountable.
And it's not just the VA bureaucracy. It's the entire federal government bureaucracy. You remember when President Trump fought to be able to fire bad actors in the VA, it was like, okay, so we can fire bad actors in the VA. How come we can't fire bad actors in the BLM, bad actors in the Forest Service, bad actors at the IRS, bad actors at the EPA? You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, okay, well, I'm glad we finally get to fire bad actors at the VA, but why don't we fire every bad actor in the federal government? And it's like, and then even now, they've backtracked on holding bad actors accountable in the federal government, and they're giving them over $100 million. It's insane. George Blackard, hold that thought. He's got some great information to share with us. Back to Freedom Friday right after the Farm and Ranch Report.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Kamala Harris had a prime opportunity the other night at the CNN town hall because Donald Trump had turned down the invitation. And of course, she made news at the top when Anderson Cooper said her, "Do you agree?" meeting with General John Kelly, that Donald Trump is a fascist. And she said, "Yes, I do." But after that, she was long-winded. She often ducked the questions. And CNN's own pundits didn't give her terrific grades. Abby Phillip. The thing I think kind of got her tripped up at times was when certain voters were asking her to drill down, actually, on some policy. Liberal Van Jones. I think the word salad stuff gets on my nerves. I think some of the evasions are not necessary. David Axelrod. When she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city. And so she would keep going back to Trump and Trump and Trump and Trump and Trump. That's her closing argument. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, high temperature readings will stay in the upper 50s to around 60. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40s, and then back into more sunshine and some warmer temperatures for the weekend. Upper 60s in Bozeman on Saturday with highs at around 73 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Hey, I keep getting emails, I keep getting phone messages from people asking me, hey, Aaron, with less than 2 weeks to go before Election Day here in Montana, how can we be a guest on your show? Here's how you do it. We've got the phone lines open for you. Whether you're a candidate or whether you're a voter who just wants to jump in on the conversation, Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. Don't wait to be a scheduled guest. Call in. We've got the phone lines open for you. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Farm and ranch debt could grow next year without a farm bill, according to agricultural economists who testified recently before the House Agriculture Committee. The damage being done to the agriculture economy without an updated farm bill is real and could get worse, according to economist Dr. Ronald Rainey.
The current environment has placed increasing pressure on producers' balance sheets, forcing them to increase farm debt levels as they attempt to survive the current economic challenges. Across all ag sectors and types of production, farm profitability remains a challenge.
USDA is projecting a 25% plus $43 billion drop in net farm income this year, or $90 billion combined over the last 2 years, the largest in history. Dr. Rainey says high input costs and plummeting prices are squeezing producers.
In response to this profitability squeeze, farmers have been increasing debt levels. A recent article from Kansas City Fed details recent changes in farm debt levels and highlights increased debt levels, especially among small and mid-sized farms.
Steady increases in interest rates at commercial banks are taking place amid continued growth in farm operating debt as well. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval has stressed the need for a modernized farm bill. Otherwise, lacking the certainty of a new farm bill, bankers could make it harder for farmers to secure operating loans beyond 2025. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, happy Freedom Friday. Jumping back into it here with George Blacker. George, we just heard the farm and ranch report there from our friend Lane Nordland. And he and Russell Nimitz and crew, they've been doing a great job reporting on all the wolves down in Colorado. The Democrats are dumping a bunch of wolves onto the farm and ranch community down there in Colorado. And, well, and they're dumping it on the sportsman community as well. So good luck, you know, good luck with your deer or elk hunting down in Colorado with all the wolves they're dumping out there. But, George, I saw a story about this yesterday, how they're going to dump more wolves into Colorado. And it's like, yeah, just a handful of apartment complexes, just a handful of wolves. Just a handful of awful Democrat policies, but Colorado got taken over by the Democrats, and so that's the handful of problems they're having to deal with now.
Well, isn't that something? I mean, somebody needs to organize another coyote hunt. It always infuriates the people in Colorado when they have a coyote hunt in Montana, and they start bombarding us with phone calls and mailers, and, you know, it's nuts, but
Hey, speaking of that, now you got me, squirrel. Now you distracted me. So I was driving through Kalispell, and I've seen this billboard a couple of times. And I, you know, you're driving, so I can't just snap a picture because I don't have my phone out while I'm driving. But so maybe I'll see if our friends in Kalispell can snap a photo for me. But there's this big billboard, and it's got coyotes on it, and it's got a snowmobile on it, and it says something like ban coyote hunting with snowmobiles. But to me, like, I'm like, you drive past that and you're like, yeah, let's go snowmobile coyote hunting. That sounds great. You know, it looks like a billboard supporting coyote hunting with snowmobiles. But yeah, it's like, guys, it's like, I don't know if you realize who your audience is here in Montana. And then they've got another one near Bozeman that's like some pro grizzly thing or something. I'm like, guys, I don't think you know who your audience is.
Yeah, well, they'll never give up on that stuff. You know, those people, they're in their own world for sure.
Well, George, I really want to get your take. I've had a couple messages. I've had a couple callers. Goose and Anaconda brought it up yesterday. I played the RFK Jr. soundbite. about this new DOD directive. They're saying there's a new DOD, Department of Defense directive, that authorizes the use of force against American citizens. Now, before we open up this can of worms, did you have a VA story you want to get to first, or did we already cover that?
No, let's go straight to this one.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so DOD Directive 5240.01. So look it up. You can see it's a 22-page directive, basically. It's very narrow in scope. And it's funny because you have the left that's saying, you know, Donald Trump wants to use deadly force against American citizens, and then you have the Republicans now saying, well, Biden and Harris have already authorized deadly force against U.S. citizens. Both of them are ridiculous. So the crazy thing is, this has to do with hold on just a second. I got my tongue tied there just for a minute. It has to do with a very specific topic. And it's about electronic monitoring of people. Let's see. forgive me for that. I got fired up about it.
No, you're good.
It's a requirement. The Secretary of Defense must now authorize military intelligence assistance to civilian law enforcement when lethal force might be involved. And it doesn't. It's not what everybody thinks it is, but it doesn't matter what it is. Both sides are going to take it and use it to their advantage if they can. And so this is what is crazy about that. The left is saying Trump wants to use lethal force against American citizens when he's talking about the enemy within. The enemy within that he's talking about are politicians.
Well, and he was asked by Maria Bartiromo, like, hey, if you win the election, what do we do if the Antifa types, if the rioters take to the streets and start rioting all across America? And so he talked about how, hey, National Guard, if that's what it takes, we've got to make sure that we don't see rioting all across America. That's what he was referring to about the enemy within.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's where I was going next. So it's interesting. So that's what he's talking about. You know, he already has a track record on that because there were protests when he was president before, and he didn't send the military in to kill anybody or do anything like that. But now you have the right, who should be exercising better judgment. But you have people like...
Hold that thought. George, hold that thought. Hold that thought for 60 seconds. I'm going to get to the Fox News update, and then we'll come right back to you right after this. Plus, George Blackard, Freedom Friday here. So, George, yeah, they want to use lethal force against American citizens. First off, look, if we should be concerned about anybody using lethal force against Americans, it's this dictatorial regime in Washington, D.C. with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and John Tester right now. I mean, look at the abuse of power. Look at what they've done against peaceful pro-life protesters. Look at what they've done against President Donald J. Trump. They raided his house. They raided Melania's wardrobe. They raided Barron's room. So I understand why people are very much on edge and skeptical about what this regime might do, given the despotism that they've already shown, the, you know, trying to strip away our free speech rights, you name it. So I understand the concern. But anyway, your thoughts on this DOD directive story here and where you feel the right elements of the right, certain folks on the rights are getting it wrong.
Right. So you have people like Ron Paul. He's a former Texas congressman. People remember him, I'm sure. You know, he goes out and saying that this country is now a police state because of this DOD directive. And it's people like that that should not be spreading this type of rhetoric. It doesn't help. It's creating panic. It's creating a situation that we shouldn't be in. And that's the thing that's getting me this year is we are allowing all these politicians, former politicians, current politicians, former generals to lie to us, outright lie on television, on radio, saying anything they want to say, and they're not held accountable for it. And so, you know, it's no wonder the people in this country are stirred up, because the people that they've elected to represent them are doing all the stirring, and they're the ones, and we got to keep in mind, none of these people, very few of these people, really have the country's best interests at heart. They're trying to get reelected and retain power. And, you know, they say that Donald Trump...
Or they're
Trump
desperate to tear down Donald Trump at the last minute
exactly.
with some phony, salacious allegations. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Kamala Harris wants to retain power. She wants to gain power. Everybody does. All these politicians do. That's why they do it. And we just got to keep that in mind, that we can't listen to this rhetoric from either side. Both sides are wrong for doing it. And we need to do something to stop this. You know, we need to make it so politicians are not allowed to lie to us on national television. And, you know, you call it free speech, call it whatever you want to, but I think this, if you're running for office and you're going to have that power, there needs to be a check there. And you shouldn't be able to say anything you want to get it.
Well, I think people should be asking questions. I think it's okay to question things. But we also should be skeptical. We shouldn't just take everything hook, line, and sinker either.
Talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. Say thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so I'm going to slightly agree with George and then slightly disagree with George, or at least offer a different angle on this story about the DOD directive. First, got a couple of messages on our Montana Talks app. Sandy in Billings, this is my comment for Freedom Friday. Did you vote? Vote, vote, vote today. Sandy says, yes, I voted here in Billings on this past Tuesday. Just some interesting statistics. 28 million ballots cast so far in 2024. As of 2022, 161.42 million people were registered to vote. As of 2023, 66% of eligible people voted in the 2020 election. These statistics are based on Google information. That was from Sandy in Billings. Jeff and Victor made a really good point here. So I was talking about how, according to Fox News, the Senate race in Montana, the campaign spending has shattered records. And basically, it amounts to $309 per registered voter. And I made the point that, hey, well, thanks to Governor Gianforte and the Republican supermajority in the legislature, we got twice that much money back with our property tax rebates. Not just this year, but last year as well. So just to kind of put things in perspective. But a good reminder here from Jeff, the tax rebate was our money. The tester money is dark money. Good point there, Jeff. Thanks for that message. All right, George. So I reached out to a friend of mine. You know, this whole DOD directive story. Yesterday on the show, I played the soundbite from RFK Jr. RFK Jr. was going after Kamala Harris for, you know, saying that Donald Trump's a threat to America, and then Donald Trump would, you know, use force against American citizens. And then RFK Jr. says, well, wait a minute, you guys just approved this DOD directive that authorizes lethal force against American citizens. So I played that soundbite on the show yesterday. Goose and Anaconda had called in to bring up the topic. First off, George, what I find interesting is how come none of these news organizations have covered this story one way or the other, right? Like, there's no major news organizations, reputable or not, that have even covered this story to say, okay, they're saying this, they're saying that, here's what we found, here's another viewpoint. Like, there's an absence of any relevant news story on this whatsoever. After I played the RFK soundbite yesterday, one of our listeners, she messaged us on the app, and she said, Aaron, when you played that clip, you sounded skeptical. And I'm like, well, we should all be skeptical. You should be skeptical of anything I say. You should be skeptical of whatever George says. We should be skeptical of what Republicans say. We should be skeptical of what Democrats say. That's part of doing your job as an American citizen, to stay informed, right?
Absolutely. I believe that. And, you know, don't take my word for anything. Just look it up. Go do your own research. But I wanted to clarify something, too, Aaron, before the break. I didn't mean that we should hamper free speech or anything. My point is, you know, if I lie on my job application, I'm either not going to get hired or I'm going to get fired when they find out, right? Politicians should be the same way. If they lie, they should be held accountable for it. So I just meant it shouldn't be allowed for politicians to blatantly lie to us.
That's right.
All I meant.
Well, let's hope John Tester is held accountable for his lies here in about a week and a half. So, George, I reached out to a friend because, you know, I'm seeing tweets, I'm seeing this from the left, this from the right. And so I reached out to a friend who is very knowledgeable on what is known as DISCA, Defense Support for, is it civilian authorities or civil authorities? Anyway, it's like all these acronyms, and, you know, you use them so much and you forget what they even stand for. But anyway, here's what he told me, and he's reputable. He knows this stuff, but he's also a conservative, so he's not just going to be a lackey for the bureaucracy either. He says this DOD directive is related to support to law enforcement in DISCA. So as an example, a few years back, the Montana Army National Guard OH-58 helicopter support to Customs and Border Protection was based out of the Kalispell Reserve Center, looking for drug flights crossing the border. That DOD directive, that DODI as he refers to it, authorizes law enforcement to use military intelligence capabilities like what you would find on an OH-58 for the furtherance of law enforcement that may ultimately result in deadly force action by law enforcement if the drug mules start shooting at law enforcement, for example. The military is not armed during these actions. So that makes sense to me because, look, there's, when it comes to the military, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, okay, you might be allowed to advise and assist on this operation, but you're not allowed to accompany them on the operation, you know, like they, or, oh, hey, you're allowed to advise and assist, and you can accompany those guys on that operation, right? Like, there's, like, authorities matter, right? So that makes sense to me the way this was explained. But then I would also say, like, I reached out to our friend John Jackson, and John made a good point. Okay, but look at what Jamie Raskin said a while back. Jamie Raskin basically said that they are going to try to prevent Donald Trump from taking power if he gets elected this November. And so based off of what we have seen out of the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris regime thus far, people are very skeptical because these people have crossed nearly every other line they have violated every other norm in American politics, you know, with the repeated impeachments against Trump, with the repeated indictments against Trump, raiding his house. But it's not just Trump. They've gone after peaceful pro-life protesters. They've gone after, spied on Catholic churches. And so I think that's why people are very skeptical. And then on top of that, like, okay, that may be what that DOD directive says. That may be what that DOD directive means. But Kamala Harris has already proven that she'll just make Adam Schiff up whenever she wants to make Adam Schiff up.
Oh, absolutely. And see, the reason the mainstream media isn't reporting this story is because you just described it, defined it, and explained it in about 30 seconds. And if we were to do that, then it goes away and it's not a big deal. If they leave it out there the way it is, it just continues to stir things up and keep people on edge, and that's what they want. So, you know, they're doing that on purpose because it's really a non-story, but they can use it to their advantage if they don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, and then you probably heard what Hillary Clinton was saying here. I mean, Hillary Clinton, let me put you on hold so you can hear the audio clip for a second here, George. Hillary Clinton is calling Trump a fascist. They've already called Trump supporters Nazis. Listen to what she's saying about President Trump having a rally at Madison Square Gardens. I mean, this lady is so bitter.
And, you know, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore it.
That is absolutely despicable by Hillary Clinton. My goodness. Why don't they just bulldoze Madison Square Gardens to the ground? You can't do any event at Madison Square Gardens now, or you're a neo-Nazi or a fascist, according to Hillary Clinton. What a nut job. George, since we're getting short on time here, you wanted to talk about deportations of illegal aliens. This was something, you know, that President Eisenhower showed can be done and should be done.
Yes, he did. And, you know, back in the 50s when he deported those people, he deported almost just under 1.1 million people. And it's interesting that Trump, when he was president, deported about 1.5 million. And Biden and Harris supposedly have also deported about 1.5 million. But they're up in arms about Trump saying he wants to deport all these people. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they upset about this? And one of the things is he promised he's going to start with gang members, criminals, murderers. Those are the people he's going to start deporting first. And if anybody's against that, you seriously have to question their loyalty to this country if they are against him deporting those people first. So, you know, I think we need – this current administration has proven that they haven't been tough on illegal immigration at all with their open border policy. But that's got to stop. And, you know, I hope that whoever is the next president starts taking this seriously, starts protecting America and its citizens from these people, and, you know, quits giving them money.
Yeah, our money. That's right.
Jobs and everything else.
That's right. Well said. George Blackard, always a pleasure. We'll see you next Freedom Friday. Great to have you as always.
Thanks, Aaron.
This episode is brought to you by FedEx. FedEx knows running a small business is hard enough without the hassle of shipping. That's why there's FedEx One Rate. With FedEx One Rate, you can ship your holiday packages cheaper than the post office for as low as $14.50 for small boxes. Visit FedEx.com/OneRate for details. Exclusions apply. Valid through January 19, 2025. FedEx One Rate. Two-day retail shipping, one flat rate.
Fox News commentary.
Less than 2 weeks to go when the Kamala campaign is in full freakout. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Cain Show.
If we're being real and we boil it down to it, this is C-team Democrats. Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. And that may be good enough because the election may simply be yet again a referendum on Donald Trump. But you're not looking at even a practiced and good politician for Democrats. You are truly looking, not at JV. I think you are truly looking at C-team. We'll see if that's good enough for America.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
You know, Kamala should be spending the final days of her campaign showing off her policy positions and plans to better America, but because those things don't exist, she's resorted to the lowest common denominator, comparing Trump to Hitler. This week she staged a press conference in which she took no questions, but rather gathered the media just to liken Trump to Hitler. If this is the strategy, you know the pages of the playbook must be thin. But sad news for her and her team, it's not going to work this time. People can't afford groceries. Do you think they have the luxury to cry over January 6th or opine on mean tweets and BS Trump Hitler character assassinations? You know, Kamala touts herself as a new generation of leadership, but the people who program her are the same tired people who have been in charge of this country for the better part of the last 20 years. The strategy is built on lies and fueled by pure desperation. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. There's been a growing movement over the past decade to restore civil rights to convicted felons after they've completed their prison sentences. Even Florida voters in 2018 voted in favor of restoring voting rights to felons who've served their time. But what about restoring Second Amendment rights? Felons lose their rights to bear arms, too, upon conviction. Now, some felons are challenging such laws, citing the U.S. Supreme Court's Bruin decision, which mandates gun control laws be rooted in tradition or history. Thomas Jean Rael of Colorado was convicted in 2022 of possessing a firearm as a prior offender. But Colorado's second highest court now rules the state's laws keeping freed felons disarmed is constitutional, despite Rael's claim the law violates Bruin. A federal appeals court hearing a different case had also ruled similarly. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. Normally we'll play this at 6:50 in the morning, but this one is hot off the presses, so we will roll it for you now. The legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation.
When it comes to elections, we might be a nation divided, but there's one thing we all agree on, and that's the fact that we all hate campaign ads. And if not the content, then certainly the way they just take over our lives, whether it's radio or TV or computer ads or YouTube or cable or our own mailbox. It's impossible to get away from the deluge of ads that come at us constantly from all directions. It's more than frustrating. It's exasperating. So how did we get to this point? In my opinion, it began about 25 years ago when we switched from election day to election month. Rather than everyone going to the polls on one day, the majority of voters take advantage of mail-in ballots and early voting, which begins a month before election day, in effect, creating election month. Years ago, when we actually had election day, political ads slowly built to a crescendo. It peaked the week before election day. Now, candidates with large budgets begin advertising months before the election and plateau at a crescendo 6 weeks before election day. And to be honest, They have to. At 6 weeks before Election Day, people are beginning to tune in. At 4 weeks before Election Day, absentee ballots are in people's hands, and from then on, it's a mad scramble for votes. The truth is, the volume and duration of campaign ads is a problem of our own making. And the solution is going back to a single day when everyone votes. And what's with the number of states unable to declare a winner on election night? In the past, we always knew who won by the wee hours of the morning, and that was with paper ballots. Now, even with digital voting machines, some states claim it may be several days after Election Day before all the votes are tabulated. All of this is combined to create a scenario where voters both despise the election process itself and, worse yet, doubt the accuracy of the vote. It's time to take a serious look at returning to what worked in the past. It required far less money and seemed to produce trustworthy results in a more timely manner. On another note, I find it fascinating that the vast majority of Montana campaign ads are either protester, pro-Sheehy, or pro-abortion. Suddenly, the issue of abortion has made its way to center stage in front of the economy, energy, national defense, or illegal immigration. This is not true when pollsters ask voters to rank the issues in terms of importance, but you'd never know that by looking at the campaign ads. And speaking of abortion, the Montana Libertarian Party this week joined the Montana Republican Party in opposing CI 128. The ballot initiative that would enshrine abortion as a fundamental right in the Montana Constitution, and in the process would allow late-term abortions to be performed by unlicensed health care providers, would ban parental notification for a minor to get an abortion, and would tie the hands of legislators to pass reasonable health and safety standards, thus putting women at risk. The press release by the Montana Libertarian Party also pointed to the fact that the amendment's language creating a right to an abortion might, quote, be broadly construed by a future activist Montana Supreme Court to provide people with a positive right to abortion and force people to fund or provide abortion services in violation of their conscience, end quote. We applaud the Republican and Libertarian parties for urging their members to vote no on CI 128. According to former UM law professor Rob Nadelson, the amendment contains hidden language that the average voter just doesn't understand. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing, it places women and young girls at risk, and it should be voted down. We couldn't agree more. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, we're wrapping up the 7 o'clock hour here on the show. Coming up for the 8 o'clock hour, let me do a quick calendar recon just to be sure. Hey, that's right. For the next 2 hours, we've got the phone lines open for you. You can jump in on the conversation. If you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring. Message us on the Montana Talks app. We got the phone lines open for the next 2 hours. Lots of ground to cover. Plus, with the elections, you know, a week and a half away now, we want to make sure that you get a chance to break through all the noise. And candidates can call in as well.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with a crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.